Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Today we will be continuing with our question and answer series with more of our listeners' questions. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom answers these questions.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Abraham was a rich man. There were well-to-do rich men in the New Testament who are instructed to be rich toward God. It is not evil to be rich, which I have never come close to being as far as accumulation of money and things is concerned. It is evil to misuse it, to allow man, government, or some other entity other than God to direct you in the use of your money. Again, I'm not arguing or complaining. I'm just expressing my belief. No one is evil because they have money, just as no one is holy and righteous because they're poor. I think the last time I received a property appraiser's value of my home, it was about $25,000 to $35,000 less than what I paid for it. That is because I bought it in 2003, and then 2007, the economy tanked. And I lost quite a bit in that thing. And look, ours is a three-bedroom home. It has less than 1,700 square feet. The man had asked me, had I ever housed homeless? Now, we didn't put that in the original question, but he did have that in his elongated question, if I had housed homeless people. And so I said, I have housed homeless people for months at a time as well, but that didn't make me good or spiritual. And I can honestly say, I don't care how people view it. As the Apostle Paul, I have to answer to the Lord. I don't put myself on the level of the Apostle Paul, except that I'm saved and he's saved. But I know it's important to some people who are interested in the socialization of government and life to be wards of the state, all of us, that they would prefer that there be a great infringement and restriction on preaching and practicing the word of God. Well, again, the question was sarcastic, but I think it's good from time to time. I rarely answer those kind of questions. Matter of fact, sometimes I'll get mail and I'll get emails that are cleverly hidden, the email return, and then I've had letters come into mail. And I don't see a return address on the outside, and I look on the inside, and it's anonymous. If I look down there, I see that there is no return address on the envelope or for the email. Then instead of reading the mail, I go to the bottom and see if they signed it. If they did not sign it, I just throw it away. So all that person did was waste 48 cents in mailing it to me or time on the internet in sending something to me that they were highly critical and stated things in such strong words, but didn't have enough character or evidently didn't believe it enough to stand behind it to be able to use their own name. So, again, if you try to ask a question like, in that matter, without using your name or whatever, you won't hear from me, and I won't even read the question. So that is just to save you some time. Okay, we'll go back to Jerry Banks, and he'll give us the next question.
Did Isaiah have a wife? I know that chapter 7, verse 3 clearly states he had a son. and named him. In chapter 8, verse 3 says he went to the prophetess and she bore a child. How do we know this is Isaiah's wife?
Okay, I like this. This lady not only asked the question that Brother Jerry just shared with us, but she read the word hiss in a devotional booklet. That was the Daily Bread devotional booklet, and wondered, they said it means to whistle. She says, I thought it had something different. She said, what was different? So in the course of this question, as I'm giving my answer that I sent to her, we come to that. You'll say, well, I don't remember them asking that question. You want to criticize me, I failed to pass that part of the question on to Mr. Bang. And so as we look at this now, in answer to her question about Isaiah, did he have a wife? Although the passage is not clear if the prophetess is his wife, it seems she would be, having the title prophetess, since she was a help to her husband. Now, it seems the Lord used the names listed in chapter 7 and 8 for a prophetic significance. The first son, Shir-Jashub, was named that because his name meant a remnant shall return. The second son, in chapter 8, verse 3, will be born to him. And the prophetess names him, and I tell you what, don't ever name your son this, Maher-shal-Hazbaz. Okay, I think there's 18 letters there. And it is the longest name in the Bible. The name means to hasten or to be speedy to the prey. That's P-R-E-Y, prey. And this is exactly what would happen to the northern kingdom and Syria, as the Assyrians would do shortly, even before he would be old enough to say, my father and my mother. Now, the Hebrew language was such that the Hebrew word for prophetess was used to refer to a prophet's wife. Although, not always, but many times it was. Now, since God used holy men of old to write the words that he breathed out to them that we read as holy writ today, it seems inconceivable that he would direct an immoral act by his prophet in order to teach a lesson to Israel, especially to tell of coming judgment. Also, in the warning of my father and my mother, that may show that, okay, she indeed was the prophet's wife because the prophet was the father and she the mother. Now, I agree with you on the word hiss. Sometimes it was in other literature used in such a way to indicate a whistle, since one could whistle a tune. But the correct translation into English is determined by the context. Now, seeing the context of coming judgment on the northern kingdom, one can clearly see that hiss is a scorning sound, and it's made in such a way as perhaps today people at a ball game would yell boo at a umpire or referee's call. Hiss was a sound made to show scorn, disgust, and shame toward someone. Now, I can remember in the 1950s, as I was growing up there, in the 50s especially, in the 60s, that sometimes people, although doing it in a kidding way, would hold out their index finger on one hand and then use the index finger on the other hand and just kind of stroke it and kind of make a hissing sound to shame you. It was like, shame on you. And they'd stroke that finger and make a hissing sound with the finger pointed right at you. And that's the idea that's behind the word. Now, the Daily Bread people had a great name for the fundamentals of the faith. The original Dr. M.H. DeHaan was not only a man with good biblical knowledge, he was a witness. It would not be unusual for him to have someone on the street, on the side, and giving them a gospel witness. Now, in the period of years since, there's been a slow evolving to a more fleshly and non-committal position, or you might say a positive only. And now that publication is solidly in the new evangelical camp, although that's not where Dr. DeHaan started. I had to quit taking the publication myself when one of their contributors that contributed regularly to the Daily Bread Devotional Guide came out and said that he did not believe that hell was a place of literal fire. He said it was only separation from God. Now, I tend to go with Jesus' teaching and the Bible teaching about hell 100% of the time. And so to me, it is a cleverly designed tactic of Satan to make hell, well, it's not so bad. It's just separation from God. There, that way I don't get too upset if my loved one dies without Christ and goes to hell. Now, they may think that's a good thing so people can endure a loved one dying and going to hell, but on the other hand, it also tells them it's not that important. They'd just be separated from God forever, and that's the way they are now. So again, you see where that leads. Well, I hope this answered the listener's question, and a good question it was. And by the way, this was something that was sent to me right back there at the start of last year or the end of last year. So again, these are questions since we did the last question and answer period. All right, Jerry Banks, we're waiting on you now for the next question.
Dr. Bloom, I'm an evangelist who has witnessed a great change in the local churches of our day. I see also that about 88% of teenagers are addicted to pornography. Do you think we should rethink our fundamentalist stand and give in a few places? It goes against my grain, but I'm discouraged. This was not a question, but a statement that seemed to say help from a middle-aged evangelist.
Okay, this is an evangelist, and I see evangelists from time to time. We have them in our church. Matter of fact, we have revival meetings in our church right now with a good evangelist going on right now, and he's not the one that sent this question in. And so this is another evangelist that was discouraged and seeing how things are going. He started out right, but now it seems like he has a hard time getting meetings because so many churches are going a different direction.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.